I call this message a degree in godliness. A degree in godliness. It may take me a while, but I'll try a little bit right now to clarify something this morning. I got thinking about it. You know, I made some statements, and as I thought about it later, I realized I'm leaving a false impression, and I don't want to leave that because I am so far removed yet from this state that, you know, that God calls us to, that it's pathetic, and yet there's been such an awesome change in me that I'm it gives us a hope that, you know, that I've wanted and I'm feeling. When I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, I walked in a dimension that was unreal. But the reason is, and it's real simple, is for a while I walked in the Spirit. And the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when deliverance came, I was, well, you know, in the Bible, they were, on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And a few chapters later, they all pray together and they said, and they are all filled with the Spirit. Like it was a refilling of the Spirit. And it's like, from my experience, I think there's been some multiple times when I have, and not just me, other people as well, when the Spirit has fallen upon me in something similar to when I first got filled with the Spirit. Well, anyway, I was zapped. I don't know how else to say it. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you're zapped. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You know, you're zapped. How else do you say it? It's a sudden, unbelievable experience. And a lot of people have been through that. But what is happening to us right now, you know, Peter said, being born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God, I feel like I am experiencing something similar to where I was quickly changed, but it didn't last, into something that is a slow change that's similar to what happened when I was first. And that's what, kind of what I was trying to say. And I got thinking about it this morning, and this is not an apology more than as much as an explanation. There has been an unbelievable change take place inside of me. And, you know, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, there's been a big change inside of a lot of things inside of me. But I'm not the only one. It's the rest of us as well. And so I don't want to leave this impression that I've arrived at some great destination, because, Lord have mercy. No. There has been a change, a drastic change. I just want to make a couple of comments here. The Holy Spirit reveals to men what is important to God, while men are only able to reveal what is important to men. That's the difference. Do you follow what I said? When the Holy Spirit begins to work on us, he reveals to us what is important to God. And while men are only able to reveal what is important to men. Now, I had a good talk with my sister. We went out with him this morning, and you know, come into this service with a handful of people. I mean, she goes to a certain church with her friend, and that does not mean that that is the denomination that she is. You know, that's who she is, because it isn't. And probably like a lot of other people. And it's not that there's something, a major thing wrong with that denomination, but I'm saying that she does not go along with a lot of things that denomination teaches any more than I do. And for instance, they not only don't put any emphasis on receiving the Holy Spirit, but a lot of what they teach is anti speaking in tongues is anti the experience itself, and which causes a problem for whoever is in that place. And I don't want to be on the day of judgment. I don't want to have to stand and face and say I didn't believe in speaking in tongues and I didn't believe in that gift. You know, I don't want to say that, because we have too many scriptures that support it and tell us that that's true. And then the other problem is actually receiving the Holy Spirit is the power to become the sons of God. That's how you get it. So when I was spoken to and I had this experience 14 years ago, I was not looking for anything like what has happened. I was not looking for something to happen where we would begin to start getting revelations in the spirit realm. I was not looking for that. However, my prayer was, Lord, I need to be filled with the Spirit, because I know what happens when you are. Or I thought I knew. And so I was looking for a sudden cure-all, you know, a quick fix, or whatever you want to call it. And that's not what happened. As a matter of fact, all of a sudden, now it's kind of like Corky was saying this morning. I think it was you that said, you got to work at it. Wasn't you that said something about, you got to work at it. And it's like we've wanted something for nothing.
Instant gratification.
Yeah. Yeah, we want something the easy way. And you know what? I don't want it the easy way anymore, because I'm beginning to understand that's not the right way. That's not the way that produces. And God's way is not like falling off, easy as falling off a log. That's not the way it is. Many people feel that by faith, we are able to move the hands of God. Been there, done that. While the truth is, we are never able to do anything that conflicts with God's will. God has His will. The Bible says to know His will. You can't do anything. You can't get God to change His mind. I have kind of been taught that, been under that impression, and I have, you know, gone along with it. As such, when signs follow those who believe, God has set these things up ahead of time, and actually in such a way so that He receives the glory and men are honored by God's servants through, and men are honored by God as His servants through obedience. Paul made a statement in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and you know what? That thing has, I've been on my mind how many times in the last few weeks. And just that scripture setting. And he said, I did not come with enticing words of men's wisdom. What's wrong with that? But I came in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Why? And then he explains it. And I tell you what, I get it. I'm starting to get it. I say starting to get it. He said, so that men's faith would rest in the power of God and not in the wisdom of men. And you know what? I have had faith in the wisdom of men. I've had so much faith in men over the years that when God did what He did here, He stripped it from me. He took it right away from me. And I realized that as long as you have faith in men and in their wisdom and whatever else, that's why God has chosen foolish things to confound the wise, so that we get our faith in Him where it belongs. So it's almost like speaking in tongues. Is that foolish or is that foolish? It's not to the kingdom of God. It's not to God. To men, it's foolish. It doesn't make any sense. It's in a realm that's out of your control. You're speaking in tongues. You don't know what you're doing. It says, and you don't speak unto men. You speak unto God, and it's foolishness. And so, the devil works to get men to want the glory for what God does, knowing that will cause a division between God and men. If the devil can get it, you know what? I stepped into that realm and in ignorance and foolishness and stupidity, and I saw the power of God. I saw some awesome things happen when we first got filled with the Spirit, and for God's reasons. And then I stepped over a line, and it took a long, long time before I recognized it, and what it devastated me, because we saw so many people healed. We were talking about it the other day again, you know, just some of them that we remembered. We were thinking about Joanne and I were talking about this, a woman, her name was Lisa Rosner, and her daughter was miraculously healed, and she moved because her daughter was healed. She sold her sporting, this is the truth, she sold her sporting goods business over in Flint, Michigan, was it Flint, I think? And she had several sporting goods stores. She was a very wealthy millionaire. And she moved out there to be by what God was doing. And she had an ailment or something in her arm where the sweat glands would not operate in her left arm. And she'd come out with her brand new Cadillac. She got a brand new one about every year. And this is only a couple of years, but she'd come out with her brand new Cadillac. And then she wanted me to drive it. And so I'd go from this old puddle jumper I had and get into this thing. I felt like a king, you know. But this is when we were seeing healings upon healings upon healings. And one day after we'd known her for a while, she says, and she was almost embarrassed to ask us. She said, "Would you guys pray for me?" And she pulled up her sleeve, and here was her swollen arm. The glands would not work in her arm. And so we said, sure. And so Joanne and I laid hands on her and prayed for her, and nothing happened. And the next morning we got a telephone call, and she was just hysterical. She said, "I woke up this morning, and it's all gone. It's normal." And we said, we saw all kinds of things like this. And so then what happens is, in your ignorance and your immaturity, you do the unthinkable. You get thinking, everybody that I pray for gets healed. And the next thing I know, it didn't work. It was taken away. And so to go from one to the other, and then down through the years, you know, I was asking Dale about the other day, about some of the things, knowing that he was a kid, but knowing that he would remember them. And he said, "Oh yeah, I remember." And, I mean, this is after we're back here, but periodically we would see these miracles and then not. And, I think that God does it. He holds back some of these things for our sake. Lest we get puffed up and it destroys us. So anyway, I was thinking also that today's church is like an army that shoots bullets out into the darkness, hoping they might accidentally hit the real enemy. You know? And I've accused a couple of people of shooting out into the darkness, hoping they'd hit a deer. God let me know specifically that I could only find Him and truth in and of the eternal words that He spoke. Is it any wonder, then, that God considered the Bereans to be noble because they only went with the Scriptures to check out what Paul was preaching to them? They didn't go by their commentaries or the great books, they went by the Scriptures. And is it any wonder then now that God would direct us to do the same thing? I have studied the commentaries. I still have them somewhere. I don't even know where they are. But I did pay a lot of money for them, but I paid a considerable amount to get, I can think of the Matthew Henry's, I still have those, I think, somewhere. Somebody might like them. I don't even know where they are. And I got a set of them. And Brown, was it Jameson? James Fawcett and Brown or something. We had that. I didn't have a whole set of that one. So anyway, and I was thinking, and there's also something else about me, and it's not just me, it's us, this church. We have a peculiar bunch of, not many, but the people we have here. And I had to find out myself, since I couldn't find any evidence in the scriptures of the Trinity, I had to find out the way that the thing came into existence. Where did it come from? And because we don't find anything in the Bible about it that backs it up, we don't find any support for it anywhere scripturally. We can twist the scriptures to make it seem like it. And yet we have, as one of the major beliefs throughout the church system today. How did it come about? When I looked it up, and I started talking about it and found out that it came about through means other than the Word of God. And then I started saying anything about it, that I got some people excited, because I discovered that people are not, they don't care where it came from. If you want to believe it, I mean, you don't want to go against the structure of the church. So if you want to believe it, you want to believe it. And nobody better argue with it, like Tertullian said. See? And so anyway, a degree in godliness. Men go after degrees in all sorts of worldly educations, which may or may not be good. I mean, it's okay to go after degrees. I mean, I was heading for a couple, but I didn't do it. And however, if at some point in their life they don't make their priority a degree in godliness or godlikeness through Christ, and that's what it is. Godliness is godlikeness through Christ. He's the image. That is what we are supposed to be. God says, I created man in my image, and I'm going to give you the perfect image, so now you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And now you work your way into that image. And so, but if they don't go after this, their lifetime or their life is a waste of time. See, God never created us so as to pursue anything except Him. Oh, could I get in trouble for that one? God never created us to pursue anything except Him. And you know why I say that? Because that's all the Bible says. It's become very obvious from the scriptures. Is it wrong then to do other things and, you know, and support our families and so? No, that's not. I'm not saying that. But that's secondary. The primary purpose for us being, you look at, read the scriptures. We were created to pursue Him, to find Him, to go after Him. And so we have. Daniel, it says, and they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Well, do we want that? Do we want that lifestyle? Well, that means we have to find Him. We got to pursue Him. In the day that you seek after me with all of your heart, you'll find me. Is that what He wants? That's what we're starting to want. I'm starting to want that. And is it hard? It's not an easy thing. But it becomes easy because God is the one that can do the job for us. All we got to do is want to. And so what happened, this is a strange, strange experience that's happened to me in the last 14 years. I kind of knew it, and you've kind of heard me talk about it, but I didn't really understand some of the things that I was saying because it really didn't make sense to me. It was like it was more like, that's what the Bible says, it's got to be right. You know, that's where it was. And now I'm starting to understand. See, and they that do understand will instruct many. So at some point, God's going to have a people that understand. I'd like to be one of them. But it's not going to be because of my intellect and my wisdom and I'm going to have to understand what God meant by what He said in His Word. And then I will get it. And then God will cause change. Then He'll cause what happened, you know. In Matthew 6:33, God says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, if we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, does that include also seeking first God? Are you following me? Mm-hmm. We don't seek His things. We don't seek His nature and His goodness without seeking Him. And if that's the case, and we do, that according to that, he will take care of everything else. And I appreciate the testimony. I am hearing some phenomenal testimonies in this church. And I have told, you know, other people about some of the things that I hear. And I keep hearing them all the time. And I'm thinking, God is changing me. But he's changing you guys too. He's doing the same thing. And even though Ken and I switch places every so often, and I say, I don't think, you know, I feel like I'm going anywhere. It kind of sounds like the testimony he gave this morning, but but that, you know what? That's not bad. It's good, because it's allowing us to let God do it, what God wants to do. And every so often, I feel like I'm at the bottom of the barrel. And then sometimes, and like I have lately in the last few days, I have felt a surge or something of a relationship with God. A closeness. See, if God takes care of everything else, that does require something that very, very few people are willing to acquire, and that's called faith. Faith. By faith we understand. And it's like, you know what? We are experiencing some faith, but you can't necessarily put your finger on faith. Faith is a strange thing. And without the type of faith that we find in Matthew 6:33, it is impossible to please God. It's not just hard to do, it's impossible. As such, if men actually want eternal life, like it says in John 17:3, you know, and this is eternal life. And I tried to tell that to somebody today, and it's like, this is eternal life. We say, well, how do I go to heaven? What do I do for salvation? Like the rich young ruler. What do I do? And Jesus said in Matthew, as he's in prayer in John 17:3, he says, this is eternal life. You want eternal life? This is what it is. You have to know the only true God. And I'm going to put a verse in from somewhere else. And the man Christ Jesus. You want eternal life? You've got to get to know him. So Jesus says in Matthew 7, he says, you know, he said, many will come to me in that day and they'll say, Lord, well, look at what we did. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, if he didn't know them, they didn't know him either. It's a kind of a two-way thing. You know what I mean? And so there's a lot of people that know him are trying to find God through false doctrines, and I'm saying that it don't work. And so knowing God is not an option, nor is it something that one man is able to reveal to another. I can't reveal the nature of God. I can't reveal God to men. The only one that can reveal the Father is the Son. No man knows the Father except the Son, and to whomsoever he reveals him. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he declares him. So the Scriptures are the declaration of the thing that we need, and that's why we need it. We need to. Who was it this morning? It said we got to drink it.
Pablo,
yeah. We need to drink it and drink it. And you know what? That's different, because we need water to live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that he drinks. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of, we got to get a different concept in our heads, because we haven't been taught properly. And so, as a result, it requires the Holy Spirit from God, and who is God, and not the third member of the Godhead, in order to reveal the true identity of God to men. It takes the Holy Spirit. And so in 1 Corinthians 2:11, I quoted, I said that earlier, but anyway, we are told that no man, oh no, I didn't either, not this one. In 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says no man, I mean, even the great evangelist, or how about Don Burnett, or how about the great Bible teachers that were in Community Chapel, It says, no man actually knows the things of God except the Holy Spirit from God, or in there it says, of God. And now it says in that verse, you know, the things of God, but would that, and like I said, would that not be also include God? Since God is a spirit, or God is spirit, and could only be known by his nature. And that is the mystery. That is where we run amok. We don't actually know God because man, God's not a man in the same way that we would know a man. And that's what kind of befuddled me for a long time. I thought, well, we got to know him, but how do you know him? He's not like us. He's not a man that he should lie. He doesn't have the same temperaments that I have. He's not frustrated. He's not offended. He's not, you know, he's not of the same nature. So how do you get to know him? But he is of a spirit nature, and so Paul said, or Peter said, that by the words that are in this book, we can become heirs, or we can become partakers. We can develop the same nature that he has. And so, Jesus was born and sent to express God's divine nature to men in Hebrews 1:3. However, and whatever happens, and this is a mystery. What we are experiencing in this church is a mystery. And so we can go back to the natural thinking, or we can eat and drink the Word of God and consume it, and let the Word of God take care of itself. It's not, you know, Pablo said something else. He said the fact that he realizes that truth is a spirit. And when I heard him say that, he made that statement, you know, I don't know, a few nights ago or whatever. And as he said it, I thought, does he understand that? And I think he does. I think he's understanding it. Because if truth is a spirit or of spiritual nature, then we're not going to get it through degrees and through college and through whatever else. Truth can only come from God because God is the author of truth, which is spirit. Are you following me? God's the author of it. So what do? We don't study, even though it says a study to show ourselves approved, scripturally. We don't study to get truth. We get it revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And so anyway, God can only be known by that which Jesus was born and sent to express, which is truth. He told Pilate, he says, I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. And so, which is a mystery. And so, the only way that we really understand is when the Holy Spirit is given access to our inner nature, to the inner nature of man, so that the eternal Word of God is able to, is to produce a divine nature within us. And that's happening. And that's what I was trying to say. That's what's beginning to take place. There's a different nature developing in me. And the thing is, I got it quick, at least two different times that I'm aware of. At this time, it's not coming that way. It's a gradual process, but the same things that happened when I got filled with the Spirit and when deliverance came are developing in me in a slower means. Are you following me? That's what I was trying to say this morning. Now, the Word of God appears a lot different to the spiritual man than it does to the carnal and the natural man. As such, the natural man tries to interpret God's Word by means of man's intellect and wisdom and fails miserably. We can't do it by the letter. It doesn't work. And yet, 9 out of 10 people are trying it that way. And they study and they argue and they study and they research and they whatever else. And Community Chapel was famous for research. And the problem is those that who do make up the larger portion of churchianity, that's what I'm going to call it, you know, are those who try to do it through the natural means. I just realized lately how important the word power is in the Scriptures. And like in verse 2 Timothy 3:5, it's, you know, where it says that they had a form of godliness and denied the power. And anyway, you know, that could pretty well describe most of what we could label today as church. It could pretty well label or describe most of them. They have a form of godliness. However, it says they deny the power. Well, how do you deny the power? You can deny it by just not saying anything about it. Mm-hmm. Or you can deny it by preaching against it. And I'll tell you one way to deny the power, since the power is to come upon us when we get filled with the Spirit, is to... denounce or renounce or whatever the Holy Spirit. I don't believe in it. You know, I heard a man on the TV, on the radio, and he did a number on me for a little while, but he says, "No, that's for imbeciles," and he had a lot of people that did.
Make me an imbecile.
Yeah. But here's what the thing is, and here's what I begin to understand. See, the word power refers to a relationship between God and man that puts God in the, quote, in the driver's seat. Because we can't come up with it. It comes from Him. In fact, one of the last promises Jesus made to us in Acts 1:8, He told the church, He said, "You shall receive power..." And I said, "To do what?" "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Well, we saw witnesses. But I tell you a strange thing, and you can look it up, and I think it's about in the 5th chapter of Acts, where they stood up and prayed, and Peter was always, you know, a ringleader in any of these things. And they said, Lord, do signs and wonders through your holy child Jesus. Remember that? That's when the place was shaken, and they were... It said they were filled with the Holy Spirit the second time. Do signs and wonders. Do miracles. Why? So that men's faith would rest in God and not in men. I'm starting to get it. I mentioned the incident where Brittany and I saw a miracle take place with little Caden. And I mentioned that when we were out there, and there were quite a few people standing there, and of course, Brittany was in tears as she was sharing this incident because it really happened. It wasn't just a thing. It really happened. And I realized, you know, that had more impact probably than anything else that was said. And that's because the power of God, the supernatural things that God does something in seconds, in just a moments, it takes us a long, long time to argue people into. However, the power was not just so we could have fun with the power. It was given to open the door so that the truth could be preached. Jesus healed, and He healed, and He healed, and He delivered, and He whatever else. And meanwhile, He preached the things that we are trying to learn. God opened the door through this ministry so that all kinds of people followed Him. But when He would get down to the nitty-gritty and to some of the things that ended up to be controversial, they left Him. But He kept doing the power. People kept coming back. But out of it, a lot of people were prepared for what happened on the day of Pentecost. And He said... You know, after they had received power, and it's evident in the after the day of Pentecost, I would think that the rest of the examples in Acts would give us an idea of what God had in mind, what we see in there. And I've been, you know, because if we have a form of godliness and deny the power, and as a result there is no power, wouldn't you after a while kind of say, well, it's not for today? The human mind would say, It's just like the man that I heard on the radio that said, I know that tongue is not for today. Because if it was, it wouldn't be those sloppy, agape Pentecostals that had it. It would be us who are living rightly and godly before God. We would be the ones that had it. And Pharisees, and more Pharisees. See, the devil, the enemy of men's souls, has all but robbed the power element out of Christianity. And in fact, and as Jesus warned us, he has convinced most of today's church that if there is any evidence of the supernatural, it must be of the devil and not from God. He said, if they say that about me, they're going to say that about you. And so the very element that describes Christianity has been belittled and stolen right under the noses of most churchgoers. In Mark 16:17, I mean, this is one of many places, it tells us something that goes right over the heads of most churchgoers. As such, we see the definition of a true believer as one who has, okay, Mark 16:17, we see the definition of a true believer as one who has the power of God with signs and wonders around them. These signs shall follow them that believe. This is recorded as Jesus saying it. And I have enough faith, building faith in God, to believe that what we have in this time frame is what God wants us to have. And some people have said the last nine verses, I think, of the Gospel of Mark, which are in italics, don't belong in the Scriptures. They're not supposed to be there. So when it says these signs shall follow them that believe, that's not really Scripture canon. And so anyway, the definition of a true believer, according to Mark 16:17, is one who has the power, the signs of God, the power signs around them that shall follow them. Now, I know that the devil has also produced some lying signs and wonders. However, and who said something this morning? See if I can think of it. That should not stop men, even if the devil does do things, it should not stop men from looking for the real thing and then receiving a love for the truth, which would include looking for the real thing and being able to tell the real thing from the wrong thing. Wouldn't a love for the truth be one of the things that would develop the gift of discernment in us? And I won't get into that. Now, Jesus said these signs shall follow them. And I'm saying, is this supposed to follow all of them if they're a believer? And you know what they are? They're deliverance, speaking in tongues, and they shall lay the hands on the sick, and the sick shall be healed. I mean, there's a couple other things there, but these are the issues. Well, I've been a part of each one of these things at some time or another. However, believing and faith are a part of each other. If you believe, that is a faith thing. If you have faith, that means you believe. And as such, there are aspects of belief and faith that are out of the reach of most people. True faith and belief, and you know what? Faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. But it doesn't come by a private interpretation of God's Word. That's what we got to understand. Faith only comes by hearing the truth. Otherwise, you can end up by having faith in men's wisdom and intellect, and it's not true. And it's not real faith. And it's like people say, well, we are of the Lutheran faith. We're of the Catholic faith. And they are. Meaning, that's what they believe. And so, true faith and belief move men out of their earthly comfort zones and out of their forms of godliness and into a true relationship with God rather than the logic and the reasoning of men. Come out from among them and be ye separate. What does that do? Well, you know who one of the fellows in the Old Testament that I can think of that did that? Was Abraham. Come out from among them and be ye separate. So he left Ur of the Chaldees, and he took his family with him and his nephew Lot, and I don't know what direction they headed, but they left. And it didn't matter, because he had that kind of a relationship with God. And so when you come out, it says to be separate. And you know what it says? Saith the Lord. And I thought, how did I miss that so many times? Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. See, he's the one who told us that. And the question is, what are we supposed to come out from? And once we do come out from it, then what do? And where do we end up? I mean, is that kind of, if you're out there in the, you're on shore, you're anchored to the shore, and the next thing you know, you let the boat loose, it's out there wandering around, you don't have control over it. Now, what do? Is that kind of a hopeless situation? If now all you got to do, now you're going to depend only on God, what do? Well, unless we go by the whole counsel of God, Acts 20:27 that Paul talked about, or the Matthew 4:4 thing where Jesus said that we don't live by the bread alone, but by every word. See, that's the secret. The whole counsel and the every word. The whole counsel and the every word. So what's happening? I'll tell you what's happened to me, and is happening to me. I have made a transition. I don't take any more and pick and choose. I use a lot of verses over and repeat them, but I don't have a favorite selection of verses that prove my doctrine. Something has changed. I want to know the truth. I've also realized from the scriptures that I only get it by every word and by the whole counsel rather than by my own private selection. But if we don't do that, we will be content to stay and maybe even die in a powerless church system somewhere. I don't want to do it. I sound like George Bush. See, God chose the Apostle Paul, and you know what I thought? Maybe to confound the wise. What an unbelievable thing. A killer of Christians, a persecutor of the church, a hater. He hated Christianity. And then he becomes, he said that, you know, that he became one of the chiefest of the apostles, besides being the chiefest of sinners. And so, through Paul, God told us about the end time perilous church system that we are told to get as far away from as possible. From such, turn away, get away. And yet that whole concept and thought pattern is a mystery today. As men run to godless temples where the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is missing. See, we need to be where the convicting power of the Spirit is. Not where it isn't. That will save our souls. And so, as a result, hell enlarges her borders, that's what it says in the scriptures, as multitudes of churchgoers stay as lost spiritually as those they are taught that they are to go and witness to. What are they going to witness when they witness? And I tell you what, I know far too many, and that's, I passed the judgment, yeah. And I'm thinking that my judgment, as I'm passing it, is a righteous judgment, because I know people that they're out there, they got to go witness. And I'm thinking, what are you witnessing about? You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you preach against it. They're as lost as the ones that they're trying to bring in. So people come in, and how does it say you make converts, and they become two times as much a child of the devil or something as you are? See? And so instead of seeking first the kingdom of God in righteousness, men are taught to seek first some organization in false doctrine that the devil has convinced that organization that they have the truth. Been there, done that. been a part of many of them, and I look at them, and I have taught in that organization. I think, what did I teach? I taught things that conflict and are contrary to the things that now that we are beginning to get from the scriptures. Because instead of becoming as a little child, not becoming a little child, it doesn't say that, becoming as a little child, I put emphasis on the learning with the intellect. And so, these organizations in false doctrine set up Bible colleges where they teach tens of thousands their particular private interpretations of an eternally spiritual word and use a letter form to do it, and that which they turn into the letter that kills and destroys men's souls. As a result, the God-given teacher, the only one that actually knows the real things of God, is left out of the picture, and men turn to the wise and the prudent that God has hidden the truth from, and yet men are told to trust them as representatives of God. And it's no wonder today's church is in chaos. And we are. We have a mess out there. Oh, that, you know, people in these large organizations and so forth, they think, oh, we're fine. This is good. Look what God is doing. I'm thinking, where is your faith? Where is it resting? Is it resting in men or is it resting in God? Where is it? What has happened to faith? Well, you know what's happening here? We're just a little dicky thing, but there is something happening. My faith is not in men anymore. As a matter of fact, Paul told us in Philippians, he said the true Christian, he calls it the one that is of true circumcision, is the one that puts no confidence in the flesh. Sell that to today's church. Yeah. And so, and here's the crazy thing, and this is what I've been on this a lot. I'm trying not to make this a big issue right now, even though I want to. Multitudes are taught that division, that unity through division, or through diversity, is good and healthy, and is actually the sign that the Holy Spirit is not, but it is actually the sign that the Holy Spirit is not even in it. He's not in that. The Holy Spirit was poured out and given so as to lead and guide men into all truth. Does that mean all men? He was given to lead and guide men. And I would say all men into all truth. That's why God gave him. So that they would come into a oneness of spirit and truth. However, that spirit does not seem to be active. And for the most part, has been replaced by a spirit totally foreign to the Holy Word of God. And it is a spirit. Just like Pablo says, truth is a spirit. There is a spirit that operates in the churches. And so, but it's not the right spirit. And because I really do want to know the truth and not the greatness of my own mindsets, and I don't want to offend anybody, but not yours either, I have gone through an amazing time of mind change in the past few years. My mind has been changing. See, when I first came into this, you know what my thoughts were? Maybe you don't want to know. I said, it took 3.5 years for the disciples of Jesus to get it. And then God turned them loose. 3.5 years. Well, of course. In 3.5 years, look at where we will be. It didn't happen. Or 4.5 years, or 5.5 years, or 6.5 years, and here we are. It's been going on many, many years. But now I look at it and I think, in 14 years, I don't recognize who I was that long ago. I have gone through a transformation because of the Word of God. This one, the slow transformation, is the one that is going to keep me. Because I am now, and I, no matter, people can disagree with this, but I believe that the King James has it right in 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again. I think because of what has happened to us, we are in the process of being born again, not by the corruptible seeds that we were familiar with, but by the incorruptible, by the receiving a love for the truth of the Word of God. And so, as a result, I have begun to see things that I never could have seen except and unless the Holy Spirit of God was involved. And somewhere in the back of my mind, I have wondered over the years how on God's green earth can so many people all have the same Bible and yet all come up with so many different doctrines. I've wondered that. And all of them all claim that their doctrines are the right ones. And then I slowly began to get it. The devil, which a lot of people, most people don't even recognize or, you know, like, I mean, if you believe in God, you got to believe in the devil. If you believe in the Word of God, you have to believe in the devil. Because we have so much evidence in God's Word of the devil. We got to believe in the devil. And if you believe in the Word and you believe in the devil, then you got to go through the Scriptures and find out how he acts or what he does. We are told by Paul to not be ignorant of the devil's devices. See, the devil, the great deceiver, has continued with an attack against whatever words that God has ever said. Whatever God says, the devil has attacked. Beginning with Eve. As such, he has found thousands and thousands of gullible people like Eve that he was able to change the Word of God within their minds and their hearts. And unbeknownst to millions, the devil has changed God's truth into lies within men's hearts and millions of people. And as such, rather than the truth that makes men free, the church systems are actually under the bondage of doctrinal differences. They don't know it. The church systems are under the bondage of doctrinal differences. That's a bondage. Because if God gave us His Word and sent us His Spirit to bring us all into the same thought patterns, the same mindsets, and if we are to develop, through the Word of God, develop the divine nature of God, we should all speak the same thing. We should, and up to the point where we all have the same revelation, understanding, whatever else, we should have such a love for the truth that we're seeking truth rather than trying to justify our private interpretations. Did you follow me? And so, according to John 17:21, the thing that causes people to believe in Christ is when his followers are one in him, which would have to mean also that they would all be of the same mind and speak the same thing. If they all are one in him, is a church one in Christ? No. It is hopelessly separated. They would have the same doctrine. As such, is it any wonder that the church systems of today are basically only a form of godliness, and they deny God's power? They have to, because they don't have it. And that, I mean, we haven't had it, and we don't have it. We're just coming to a place where, but I know that God is going to do something that is going to... I saw something happen just a few days ago. I saw something happen, and it was... I was not intending to even bring up anything like that. And Brittany says, could you pray for... We're praying for things. Could you pray for me? We want to maybe get into a bigger house and so forth. And I said, why don't you share what happened to Caden? Little did I realize the impact of her testimony and what it would do. It was like a powerhouse out of the rest of the testimony. It was a powerhouse thing. And I thought, you know, sometimes you think, well, you got to see it, you know, but this was not seeing it. This was a faith that came just by hearing it. And so what has happened Whereas the churches deny the power, and their unity through diversity meetings are time bombs, just waiting for somebody to light the fuse. I know that. At some point, these great big things are going to become, the fuse is going to get lit. All hell's going to break loose. Just like the great big prayer meeting thing that they had at Azusa Street, or after Azusa Street, and the Oneness Church was formed out of it. It was chaos. Read some reports on it. These fun-loving, nice people that loved one another, all of a sudden, they weren't so nice to each other. And so anyway, churchianity today could be labeled as men see things, while true Christianity would be labeled as God sees things. As such, men get together today and vote, and of course they pray, and decide what they need to do as an organization. While the picture painted from the scriptures is of a people who pray together and wait for God until God leads and guides them into His way, in His will. We're approaching that. We're not there, but we're approaching that. See, the impatience of today's unbelieving church is why God's church is where it's at. It's impatient. God wants His church to operate with power, because men's faith will then rest in God and not in men. However, there are some things that need to take place in order for them to operate in power. The power is directly related to a relationship with God and with His Word. As such, Daniel said the people that do know their God will be, etc. Would that suggest then that in those in 2 Timothy 3:5 who deny God's power, who have a form of godliness, would it suggest then that they don't actually know God? Would that suggest that? And of course the answer would be yes. And would it also maybe mean that the reason why so many get frustrated because they try to claim promises, that they're not able to, that they're not in God's Word? And yet, or they try to claim promises in God's Word, but they're not in a place to do it. And I'm thinking that the hour is coming when God's going to have a people that are in that place. See, they're not qualified. As such, you know, I've been there myself, and maybe I should say I'm still there myself. The power promised in Acts 1:8 is to those who are in that place, where they are ready and willing to receive the Holy Spirit and tongues. And when I believed that and received it, I saw unbelievable miracles. Plus, we saw a lot of people saved, which was the foundation for Community Chapel. However, like most professing Christians, I had lots of holes and leaks in my temple. I was pretty leaky. I feel like God's doing. He's kind of patching a lot of the holes. And there's the Spirit is staying in when it comes. And I slowly let the Holy Spirit leak out of me. As a result, what happened? You know, I can't believe it took me all these years to realize. I began to lose my first love. I had a first love when I got saved. But this is a mystery. This is a mystery. I now realize was my initial love for God's Word, which was with God, therefore always was and always will be God. You have to have the same love for the Word of God in order to have a love for God. I've been saying that. I'm going to keep saying that because I'm realizing that is the thing. I lost a love for God that I had when I had a love for His Word. All I did was I read it morning, noon, and night. Wake up in the night and read the Bible and cry. I can remember. I was so affected by it. Put everything aside and just read it. And anyway, and then I got away from it. And then I found it was, you know, I would try to set aside a few minutes a day to read the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? And so anyway, to lose that first love relationship with God's Word is to lose the first love relationship with God. As such, whensoever men turn to private interpretations and slip away from God's Word, they automatically lose the first love relationship with God. The private interpretations remove the first love relationship. In order to have a first love relationship with God, we must also have a first love relationship with God's Word. Now, I'm going to keep repeating that. And so, whenever men allow the devil to add to or subtract from God's Word, which actually means division or divisive private interpretations, and which makes up most of what we know today, which makes up most of where I've ever been, they automatically lose their access to the power factor that creates faith in men. When we get into private interpretation, we lose the access to the power factor. To actually know the only true God is a foundation for eternal life. How many people know that? I didn't know that. If you want to be saved, here's what you do. Good master, what good thing can I do so I can be saved? So he says, go on. And Jesus looked at him and he knew him. He knew what was going on in his heart. He says, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And he went away sorrowful. He was asking, but he didn't want that to happen. You know what I mean? And so that's where we're at. It's like, Lord, what good thing do we do? Well, you go and whatever is an obstacle in your life, you go get rid of it. You know what I mean? I don't want to do that. And what it does, but when we do what God asks, it sets the stage for the expression of God's power through men. As such, there is nothing about any one of us that God does not know. There's not anything in me that God does know. Right down to the inner thoughts and the intents of my heart. That's what the Bible tells us. And so if that's the case, then what do I seek past Him? And once we can actually realize this, once we understand that's who God is. God is not as any one of us sitting here. That's not who He is. He's the one that made what we are. Down to the thoughts and the intents of our heart. He understands every single thing about us. Down to the hairs of our head, and the Bible says they're all numbered. Some it's easier to number and some not so easy. You know. Anyways. And so, but anyway, when we understand all this, it makes it a lot easier to be honest and repentant before God. See, once men do what God tells all men to do, like in Psalms 1:1-2, and develops a nonstop relationship with His eternal Word, whether it's we read it or hear it, or if we, the Bible says, the scripture that says, God will keep them, him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Him. And so while we're sitting one thinking, well, I can't listen to the scriptures nonstop, that's we really don't have to do that. But what happens is, if the mind gets stayed upon Him, He keeps them in perfect peace and He keeps feeding them. And is that not what's happening to us? I thought about it the other day. I thought my mind is on God just about nonstop. And so it's bringing a peace and it's bringing a lack of condemnation. But strange things begin to happen. We are told in Hebrews 11:3 that through faith we understand. And Romans 10:17 that faith develops as we take in the eternal words of God's truth. Well, somehow, we've become aware that the Holy Spirit gets involved when all that we take into our system is that which He was sent to show us. I've been working on this message for 2 weeks. And so, it's taken me a little bit longer, but anyway, I'm almost through here. But The thing that I'm beginning to understand is that the Holy Spirit does not get involved if we are caught up in private interpretation. He leaves it up to us. And it says that taking the sword of the Spirit, or taking, yeah, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit was given so as to promote the Word of God, not men's doctrines that are askew. You know what I mean? And so if we start taking in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will get involved, and especially if we isolate ourselves to that. Do you follow me? There's a faith substance inside of me that knows that. And I know it more and more today than I did yesterday. It's like an increasing thing inside of me. Jesus said and told us that the Holy Spirit would take of his, of mine, he said. He will take of mine. Mine what? And show it to you or reveal it to you. What was it? It has to be what he said. He will take of the words that I spoke and reveal it to you. And he says, for all things that the Father have are mine. Therefore, I said he will take of mine. His mind what? But he never said that the Holy Spirit would ever take of that which was not his and came from other sources or came out of the demonic realms. So those with eyes that can see and ears that can actually are able to hear need to begin to realize that most of what is taught within today's church system did not really come from Christ. They came through mindsets and theories and things that, you know, the Trinity. It's not taught in the Bible. And one day I said, well, how did it get in? At first I just realized it's not there. How did it get there? And when I started to research, you know, as best I could and found out where it came from, I thought, no wonder we're in trouble. And yet, people don't want to face the fact that it really isn't in the Scriptures. And so they twist and wrestle the Scriptures to try to make it fit. And you don't want to, of course, and the thing is, you don't want to suggest to the Trinitarian Church that the Trinity is not in the Scriptures. That'll offend them. And we don't want to do that. And like Jesus, I mean, he continually offended the Jewish leaders nonstop. However, I have been so wrong so many times, and I have been offended by those that were right so many times, which is good for me. But if and when we ever grow up, we grow out of pride, and we grow out of self-righteousness, we grow out of these things, and we become like the noble Bereans. And see, they did not check their commentaries, like I said, or their great books, but rather, they only went with the word that God spoke, and this, they didn't even have the New Testament. They checked what God spoke to the Jewish fathers through the prophets. And so anyway, once we grow up, we compare everything that we do by the words of God through Christ. And that's what we got. That's why I was directed to listen. I listened and listened. I still do. Basically to the Gospels. And when God began to mature me and caused me to know that only the existing Word of God was and is the truth, I began to have a more of a solid foundation to build on. As a result, I have been slowly building my life around a cornerstone called truth. Is that what's beginning to happen? Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the truth. We have never looked at it that way. We have to build everything we are around a cornerstone called truth. And it has to be an issue. It has to become valuable. It's vital. And so, and you know what? The gates of hell will at some point fall down flat, which are the lies of the devil, before the truth of God's word. At some point they're going to. Anyways, God bless you. I love you. Hang on to the word. I told my sister today, and she'll probably hear this, but I told her, and at the last words I said, listen to God's word. Just keep listening 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 to God's word. And she says, I do it, I will. Anyways, I love you. God bless you.